Good morning. It's lovely to be back here in the building. But here we are at the second in our series in Matthew's Gospel. Did you hear the one about? And today we come to Jesus' story that he told about the wheat and the weeds, or tares as some translate it. Stories always seem to have the most powerful impact. I can easily forget a piece of theology eruditely spoken, but if there's a story that is real and illustrates that truth, then more often than not, I can remember not only the story, but the theology that it was illustrating. So before we come to today's reading, let's just for a moment ask the question, why tell stories? This is a question that the disciples asked Jesus, and this is what he replied. And I'm quoting from the Message translation of chapter 13. He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people towards receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it." Yes, Jesus nudges us to become receptive. And as Heather said last week in her talk, a parable is a way of illuminating a truth, of casting light on something by using familiar image or example. As we read these stories, we need to remember that Jesus wasn't directly addressing us, but people of his generation who believed in the God of Israel and thought of themselves as chosen. We only have to look back a couple of chapters to understand why Jesus was saying what he did to his first hearers. Chapter 11, verse 16, "To who can I compare this generation? We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But don't get me wrong, while Jesus was clear that his first calling was to the house of Israel, who had continuously failed to be a light to the world, he is continuously nudging people into the kingdom, both then and now. There are clearly lessons for us to learn too. In last week's story, we were looking at soils, about sowing, receptivity, steadfastness and growth, and an emphasis on how individuals receive the word of God. If you happen to see Heather speaking on YouTube, you will have seen how she took a handful of seed which floated off into the air when she let it go. But for that seed, that word of God, to take root and grow and flourish, well, it takes time, the right conditions, and hard graft. But today we're looking at the whole field, which Jesus says is the world. And the good seed is being planted continuously throughout the ages. He is painting the really big picture of eons of time to the end of the age, which includes us, here and now. It's clearly about the whole kingdom of God. Jesus is saying that the ones who produce the good seed are now being scattered throughout the world. And he is predicting what will happen in the course of history as God is at work in human events. At the close of Matthew and Mark's gospel, Jesus' words are soon to be fulfilled. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16:15, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the close of the age," Matthew 28. Therefore, that Great Commission was the beginning of this scattering of these sons and daughters of the kingdom throughout the world. As we read on in the book of Acts, we find that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and empowered the waiting disciples, filling them with himself. Then a little later on, persecution arose and the disciples were scattered everywhere, preaching the word. That is the sowing that Jesus is talking about here in today's parable. He scattered them throughout the world, and Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, recognizes this in the first chapter. Paul writes, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you in the same way. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world." The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. St. Paul recognized the sowing that the Lord had accomplished. The field is not the church, but the world. The daughters and sons of the kingdom are put where God wants them, in the world. Wherever we are, as a child of God, as a son or daughter of the kingdom, we have been put there by the Lord Jesus. It's important for each of us to understand that he has sown us and put us where we are to grow. On the south wall of St. Paul's Church, we have this inscription: "We are a beacon of light for Jesus." We are a beacon of light for Jesus. The church, that is us here, is to gather together for worship, for teaching, for the celebration of the Holy Communion, and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, and for mutual fellowship and encouragement. But then we are to go out. Then we are to go out to be beacons of light for Jesus. We come together, then we go out again, scattered out into the various places where we spend each day. And where we are, there he is, enabling his life in us to be lived out. If I had more time, I'd tell you a story of a man I know who, by his life in his office, someone else remotely recognized it. And through that recognition of his life, another person came to Christ and was filled with the Spirit. These stories are happening countlessly across the generations. But now we come to the difficult bit. Jesus in this parable talks about the close of the age. Into that same field, Jesus says there came an enemy. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeds are literally a plant, which today is called darnel, a poisonous weed that looks very much like wheat. In fact, when it first begins to grow, even an expert can't distinguish from wheat. But as it grows, it begins to change, and finally, when it comes to harvest, even a child can tell that it's not wheat. The Jews called it degenerate wheat, or literally bastard wheat, because it appears to be wheat, but it's not. Now, these two are persons that are sown. They are what Jesus calls the sons of the evil one. They too have been scattered throughout the human race by the enemy, and especially among the wheat. Is evil really out there somewhere among us? Lieutenant General Romero Dallaire, who in 1994 was part of the UN mission to Rwanda and witnessed the genocide, was asked how he could still believe in God. He replied, "I know there is a God because in Rwanda I shook hands with the devil. I have seen him, I have smelled him, and I have touched him. I know the devil exists, and therefore I know that there is a God." Indeed, all of us have some experience of evil, and a cursory look into our daily news illustrates the presence of evil in the world. Whether it's corrupt governments, human trafficking, modern-day slavery, which is worse today than it was in the 19th century, or the fact that millions still go hungry and have no fresh water to drink. Evil is very present, made because of what humans have done. Given that evil and the devil do exist, what is Jesus saying to each one of us today? Jesus invites us to trust that the love we fear is too good to be true is actually good enough to be true. Jesus invites us to be drawn into this love as it shapes and forms us and takes over every square inch of our lives. Jesus calls us to repent, perhaps to repent often, to have our minds and hearts transformed so that we see everything differently, to be the wheat. This invitation to trust asks for nothing more than to be receptive in this moment, and yet it's infinitely urgent. Jesus told a number of stories in which things did not turn out well for the people involved. Why not check out some of these stories in your small groups this coming week, apart from the story we've heard today? There's the man who buried his talent. 5 foolish wedding attendants. Goats are sent away to a different place than the sheep. Tenants of a vineyard have it taken from them. And weeds that grew alongside wheat are eventually harvested and tied in bundles to be burned. These are strong, shocking images of judgment and separation in which people miss out on rewards, celebrations, and opportunities. Why did Jesus tell these stories? He told them to his hearers and in turn to us to wake us up, to nudge us to become more receptive. Time does not repeat itself, neither does life. While we continually find grace waiting to pick us up off the ground after we have fallen, there are realities to our choices. Jesus reminds us in a number of ways that it's vitally important we take our choices here and now as seriously as we possibly can, because they matter more than we can imagine. We find ourselves asking, will everybody be saved? Or will some perish apart from God forever because of their choices? This is my personal take on it, and others are free to disagree. For me, these are questions, or more accurately, tensions that we are free to leave fully intact. We don't need to resolve them or answer them because we can't, and so we simply respect them. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I've taken funeral services in which I've had no idea what the deceased believed in or thought. But I believe it is my responsibility to be extremely careful about making negative, decisive judgments about people's eternal destinies. What I do believe is that mercy triumphs over judgment, as the Apostle James writes. And I am content to leave judgment with God. But this morning, whatever you've been told and learnt about the end of your life, the end of time, the end of the world, This morning, Jesus passionately urges us to live like the end is here now, today. Let us pray as we close. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Father, I pray this morning for each one. Thank you that grace has brought each one of us safe thus far. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that grace will lead each one of us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.